So it is our tradition at Eastside that every other year in August we have what's called our ministry fair, as we're perhaps you've noticed today. And we have really three purposes for the ministry fair. First of all, it's just to praise the Lord. It's just to celebrate all that God is doing here in our Eastside family. Secondly, it is also to help everyone be aware of, like, well, what's going on at Eastside? It help everyone be aware. These are all the ministries that are part of this church family. And then thirdly, it is for the purpose of really recruiting you and encouraging every single one of our members to be a part of the church family and to find a ministry to serve in. And this is really under the umbrella of our larger mission and vision for our church here at Eastside. This is what our elders reminded us of and called us to at the beginning of the year in our New Year's service. The mission of our church, as Jesus gave to us, is to make disciples of all nations. And we mean by that is to bring people into a saving relationship with Christ and to follow Him and follow His life, follow His teaching, follow His example, and live our lives with the purpose of helping others to do the same. That's our mission. That is the what that has been given to us. And then the vision, that's the how. Well, how do you carry that out? And so we define that with three memorable words: connect, grow, and serve. That's the how. Making disciples is the what. Connect, grow, and serve is how we do that. And when we say connect, we mean basically two things: connecting people in a relationship with God, which automatically means connecting them in the family of God, because that's where God is, the church. And as people are connecting with God, as people are connecting with His church family, that automatically brings them to a place of, it leads to growing. Growing and maturing in your faith more and more into the image of Christ. That's God's vision for every single one of us. That's what being a disciple means. As a matter of fact, that was God's vision for us. We see in Genesis chapter 1 when He created us to make us into His image. We mess that up by our sins, and God says we're going to fix that through Christ coming in the earth and through the working of the Holy Spirit to bring us back into His image. And so we're connecting with God and His family. We're growing in our faith. But it's impossible to grow and become more like God without serving. And so that just automatically leads to the third part of our vision to help us carry out our mission, which is serving. Serving in two capacities: serving this church family, and secondly, serving the community. And as you see here on the screen, it's kind of like the recycle. It's a cyclical process. The more I connect with God and the more I connect with His church family, well, the more I'm going to be growing in my faith. The more I'm growing in my faith and maturing as a disciple of Jesus, I'm just naturally, the more I'm going to be serving the church and the community. And the more I serve the church and the community, the more I'm going to be connecting with God and others. The more I'm connecting, the more I'm growing. The more I'm growing, the more I'm serving. And a person is on this cyclical process of being made and formed as a disciple of Jesus Christ more and more into the image of God. And so central to this vision is not some of us doing everything in the church, but each one of us finding our place of service in a ministry. Because it's when you're finding your place of service in a ministry, that's where growth occurs. But one of the challenges that we face with this, as a matter of fact, it's a challenge that all churches face. It's known of as the Pareto principle. And so this is named after an Italian polymath, which is just a fancy word for he was just a really smart guy who figured out how to solve problems. And we know of the Pareto principle as the 80-20 rule, or the 80-20 principle, which suggests that roughly 80% of effects come from 20% of causes. So then you move that. That's been used in the church world in this sense, that a minority of members, 20%, typically do 80% of the service and the task in a church. Now, that's not exactly the percentages that we fall under, but that's the general principle in most all churches. 20% are doing 80% what is needed. And so as a result of that, it restricts our pool of volunteers in the church. It creates burnout among those who are really involved in serving. It helps our church not to fully achieve its potential of growth, and it's also the result if the majority of our members are not growing in their faith, then that means our church is not growing as well. And so the whole idea behind the ministry fair is to combat the 80-20 principle in the church. We offer this ministry fair for the purpose of inspiring and equipping us to find a place to serve in the church. And so, to lay a biblical foundation for our ministry fair, I decided to return to a very familiar passage that most of us have heard that addresses perfectly what I've just spoken about. And I also decided that I wanted to bring back a familiar friend, Macy, in a service that she's just been locked up in my office, dismembered, which is kind of creepy, but there's no other way I could have kept her in my office. And so I felt like it's been at least 8 to 10 years since Macy's been here. I thought I need to bring her back. And then this week I was told that, no, Eddie, it hadn't been 10 years. It's been less than 10 years. And so I thought, oh, well, that was like Tuesday or Wednesday that I figured that out and thought, it's too late for me now to regroup. And so I thought, you know what, we're going to bring Macy back because our kids aren't going to junior worship. This will be a way to just, she needs her hair. This will be a way to straighten her. There we go. Thank you so much. At least the kids who are supposed to be in junior worship, we can keep their attention a little better with Macy's help. So for some of you guys, this is going to be a reintroduction to someone that you've met before. For others of you that are newcomers, you're meeting Macy for the first time. Whether you're one or the other, she's going to help us really drive home the text I'm getting ready to read to you. And there's two primary lessons we want to get across. Does anybody remember? I mean, I think I did this 10 years ago. There are two lessons. There are two lessons that come from it. Can anybody quote those two lessons? Anybody remember? I'm going to give you a hint if you need it. That's close, Sammy. That's close. I'll give you a hint. Come on, guys. I got to know that you're remembering the sermons. Everyone. Now, does that help anybody? All right, Caitlin, can you do it? All right, Caitlin, wait a minute. We need to go stand up and say it really loudly, Caitlin. Very good. Very good, Caitlin. That's phenomenal. It's just two simple points. Two simple points. Everybody needs a body, and the body needs everybody. I want us just to repeat that with me. So I'm going to say the first part, and you say you repeat after me. Everybody needs the body, and the body needs everybody. All right, let's just do that one more time. Everybody needs the body, and the body needs everybody. Now, when we say, y'all are phenomenal, when we say, and then 10 years from now, I'm going to ask you that again, okay? And if Caitlin's not here, I'm going to need somebody else to repeat that for us. When we say the word body, we're talking about the church body, the church, okay? And that is exactly the metaphor that is being used in our passage for today. So let's take a look at it. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm again begin reading in verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many are of one body, it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, that would be really scary. That's Eddie's commentary. If the whole body were an eye, here it comes. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, envision that. Look, the Holy Spirit is really, really fun and creative here with this. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the foot, I have no need of you. To the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we think less honorable we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, that means the church, God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care. I love this. The members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you, we just sang this, you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues. And are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire, I'm reading from the NIV, the higher, or the NIV reads the greater gifts. Now there's like a six, I could make that a one-year sermon series, right? There's a whole lot in that text I just read for you to unpack. Do it in your life groups. What I really love, some of you that even aren't in life groups right now, getting the life group guides and using them on their own. So I'm just delighted with that. All I want to do with this passage is drive home 2 points. Let's repeat them again. I'm going to say it. You repeat it after me. Everybody needs the body. And the body needs everybody. And so the idea behind that is the hand is hearing that and the hand is going, no, man, I don't buy into that. You know, I'm not into the church thing. I'm not into the institution of the church. So I'm gonna go over here, and I'm gonna be a Christian. I'm part of the body. I'm just gonna go over here and do my own thing. And then the arm is over here going, you know, I'm kind of with you on that. Now, it takes a little bit longer to take it off an arm. The arm goes, I'm a little bit like that too. As a matter of fact, you know, somebody, I got my feelings hurt here. The neck, pain in the neck. So what do you do when you get your feelings hurt? You just leave the body. Or the arm is going, you know, I have been around for so long, doing so much. It's time for, I'm just going to kind of back off, go over here and do my own thing. And I'm just going to let everybody else take care of whatever needs to be done there. I'm just too old now. I am too young. I just don't really have that much to offer. And so the arm comes over here, and I'll let the arm and the hand at least join up to be partners. So what do you do with this? I mean, do you use it at home? Is it a weapon? You know, if somebody breaks in the house, do you grill it and eat it when company comes over? Or maybe you put it on the mantle, right? And that's pretty good for about a day until the next day it starts turning color. I don't want to go into too much graphic detail. Starts smelling. And the arm starts to wither and die. Why? I'll say it, you repeat it after me. Because everybody needs the body. And so what's up with the body over here? The body feels the pain of that loss. Please understand that. As a matter of fact, the other members of the body now are having to compensate for what has just happened. It's very difficult. This is not the way it's meant to be either, because not only does everybody need the body, but repeat after me, but the body needs everybody. And so, You need the body of Christ. The body of Christ needs you for your growth and for the growth of the church. But one of you says to me, "Oh, I think I got you, Eddie. I don't think that is completely true. Everybody doesn't need the body, and the body doesn't need everybody. Eddie, what about the appendix?" Now I'm thinking, that's a really good point. As a matter of fact, I was at the dinner table with Karen. I said, "Hey, look at my slides for Sunday." And I didn't get a very favorable response to this picture. What is the appendix? What purpose does it serve? It's just, if you see this picture to the still in the body, it's just kind of hanging there. It's just kind of hanging around, not contributing at all to the body, except when it starts stirring up trouble. And then all of a sudden, it becomes inflamed like the one you see over here. And it has to be, and it causes pain and appendicitis. And either you remove the appendix or you're going to die. But here's the good news about it. You can remove the appendix. It doesn't really matter because the body doesn't need the appendix. We're not even sure what it's there for. So, Eddie, this illustration falls apart. No, it doesn't. And here's why. While the human body has an appendix, the church has no appendix. There is not one Christian who is not needed in the church body. And as this passage just so beautifully is guided by the Holy Spirit tells us, all of us have unique gifts and skills and abilities, and you have unique gifts and skills and abilities that no one else has, and you are deeply and desperately needed in the church body. And so the question is, are you just kind of hanging out as a consumer, but not a contributor? If you are, then please understand the body feels that loss. And you're not reaching your full potential of growth, and neither is the church. Well, then, what do you do, Eddie? What do I do? Well, first of all, if this passage is pretty clear. If you've never been baptized into Christ, that would be your first step. There's a lot of us. He says here, we were all baptized into one body. There's some who've been just hanging around for a long time, but they've never made that commitment. I want to be a part of Christ and a part of His church. That's the first step, is making that commitment. If you've never made that step, what a great day to do that today. Let one of us know. And then the second step, once you're a part of the church body, is to understand how vital you are. And hopefully, Macy helped us get that point across. But then thirdly, is to understand the importance of finding a ministry to serve in. And so that's the purpose of our ministry fair. Someone will say, "Well, I really don't know what to do. I just don't really know where I fit in." Is that true? Or is that just an excuse not to serve? Here you see an incredibly long list of a lot of the ministries in our church family that you can be a part of. And so what we want to do now for the next 20 minutes is we're going to continue this sermon in a very practical sense. I'm going to say a prayer, and then I'm just going to let you take 20 minutes to walk around to the various tables. Talk to the leaders. Those leaders have to get there pretty quickly as soon as we start this, the prayer. Talk to the leaders of the various ministries. Find out about those ministries. Find out how you can serve. Now, part of the challenge is there is not enough time for you to go to every single table. So kind of look up here and which would be one that really is of interest to me. I'll tell you this, or where my gifts fit here. I'll tell you this, there's not one of those who have enough people and don't need somebody to be a part of it. There are so many incredible needs. But also, at the life group table where I'm going to be for signing up, and really, while we can't have everybody sign up for every group, everybody needs to sign up for a life group ministry, to be in a life group. I'll be back there at the life group table, and I'll have a packet of every single one of these ministry booklets, that has every single one of these ministries that has a name of the individual who leads that ministry and has all the information you need to be a part of that. And so while you're milling around, talking to people and finding a place to serve and getting to know the ministry leaders, I want to encourage you to do something else. After this, we're going to have communion. So I want you, and we're not going to do it at tables. There are no tables. There are communion kits here, here, and there. As you're walking around, be sure and remember to get a communion kit. And then after about 20 minutes, Lane Lawrence and the worship team, they're going to come up here. They're going to start us in a song. And as you hear that song, that's your cue then to go and be seated. Speaking of our ministry tables, I can't give a shout out to all of them, but we're so delighted to have Walter Williams here with Mountain States Children's Homes, and he's got these cans back there. You want to be a part of incredible ministry, take one of these home, you put your coins in there, and it'll help make a difference in children's lives. So Walter's right back there in the back. I think he gets the prize for having the most candy. He's got four different types of candy for four different visions for their ministry. So why don't you stand with me if you would. Let me share with you one more passage of scripture. I'm going to say a prayer, and then we're going to have a practical hands-on application for this sermon. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Do you hear that? You grow as a disciple of Jesus. We grow as a church, as each member finds and actively engages in their role of service, as each member does their part. What's your part? This is God's word to us today. Let's live it. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for, I'm not the one that thought this up. You're the creative one. What an incredible passage with some real amazing visuals here in 1 Corinthians 12. Father, penetrate it by the Holy Spirit deep into our hearts and help us to see how it applies to us. We offer this time to you now to help us really figure out how we can live this by finding a ministry to engage in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.